There's a piece of sound I want you to hear from yesterday. This is the president. And by the way, we're efforting Chuck Todd, who may or may not be available. You know, we're clearing up the holidays here. But this is the president, his own words yesterday in an impromptu address to the world. Listen.
Iran is a much different country than it was when I became president. Iran, when I became president, I had a meeting at the Pentagon with lots of generals. They were like from a movie. Better looking than Tom Cruise and stronger. And I had more generals than I've ever seen. And we were at the bottom of this incredible room. I said, this is the greatest room I've ever seen.
You don't have generals.
What are you talking about?
You're the commander in chief of the generals. They're not your generals. I don't even know why I try. Chuck Todd joins us. Good morning, Chuck, and Happy New Year.
Well, good morning, Steve. Happy New Year to you.
Let's talk about what really matters. Bears, Eagles, Sunday, 4 o'clock. I assume you're all in for the Bears.
You know, I really feel bad for the Bears in this case. The last team you'd want to face is the Eagles with Nick Foles right now. Who else would want it? There is, you ask any of those playoff teams, they say, do you want to face the defending Super Bowl champions right now that seem to have some weird mojo going? I think the answer is no. I tell you, I love the Eagles here. I feel bad for the Bears. It's not fair. But you give me Nick Foles versus Mitch Trubisky.
Unfortunately, it's not Foles versus Trubisky. It's Foles versus Khalil Mack. So that works out for us.
Right. So Khalil Mack's going to chase.
Khalil Mack's going to chase Nick Foles right back to Philly.
Give me Bears defense at home against Philadelphia any day.
Look,
now listen,
Bears and Ravens give us hope that defense is back, okay? I'm just telling you, I wouldn't want to face the Eagles. And you guys know, deep down inside, you hate the fact you have to play the Eagles.
The Bears Ravens in a Super Bowl, what would that be? 3-2?
You know how fast it would end? It would end in like 10 minutes with the running of the ball.
A lot of punting. All right, so a new Congress gets sworn in today. Nancy Pelosi seems like she has more energy than ever. This woman is 79 years old, and she seems like she has more energy than she's ever had. Is there a discussion at least going on about the Democrats maybe overreaching too fast, or are they just going to dive in full force here?
You know, I think when you start with a shutdown, how do you not dive full force in? I mean, on one hand, it's crisis management, and I think in some ways it's fitting that this era begins with them in shutdown mode, because I have a feeling it will define sort of how this relationship between congressional Democrats and the president is for the next 2 years, which is just, it's a series of confrontations, and impeachment will be one of them.
The swearing into this Congress in shutdown mode also includes the possibility of jumping to an impeachment, articles of impeachment, as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. Where's the power in that in regards to who would make that move and how fast would they?
You know, I think a lot of it has to do with the Mueller report. I think a lot of it has to do with I think some of it has to do with timing. I mean, I hate to say it, I think the political calendar matters. I think if all of this is in the spring of 19, then it will be something Congress deals with. If this starts seeping into the fall of 19, we're going to be starting to get close enough to the presidential election that many will say, well, let's let the voters decide this.
I wouldn't be comfortable unless it was cowardice timing
in the spring.
Yeah, I get you.
You know, Chuck, the interesting thing about Democrats is already as they get set to take over, there's questions about them being one unified party as a progressive wing wants changes to some of the policies. How do you see that playing out? Is that something that Nancy Pelosi is going to listen to, or is this just going to be media fodder for the next couple of years?
I think it's somewhat media fodder. I think it gets overshadowed by the presidential primary. I think the same disputes you're talking about, the same divides, they will be more interesting to cover, frankly, through the prism of a presidential primary than they are through congressional elections. That said, in the same way Obama kept Republicans united in their various factions, Trump will keep, I think, congressional Democrats. I mean, look at 2 months ago. If you would have told me on swearing in day, the biggest story would not be whether Nancy Pelosi has enough votes to become Speaker, you know, you'd have knocked me over with a feather. The point is, look at how quickly Trump was able, essentially, to allow Nancy Pelosi to unify the Democratic Party. I think that in itself tells you that the fractures inside the Democratic Party will get totally covered up by Trump.
Yesterday, in that bizarre Oval Office sit-down, he said some of the most damaging things he said in the entire time he's been in the White House, as far as I'm concerned. Let me just throw a couple at you for reaction.
Does it matter anymore?
Well, yeah, that's the thing, right? Because
it should. He does it with such volatility, right? He does it with such frequency, though, that I do think it's numbed the system a bit. The impact gets discounted a little bit. Oh, there's the crazy uncle all going off again, right? He becomes that guy. I do think that's something he needs to get nervous about, in that these moments have less and less impact collectively over time, as you're like, oh, yeah, he's making stuff up again. Oh, it's self-aggrandizement again. Oh, it's this again. They don't have the same, and while it doesn't create, I think, the same level of outrage from his opponent, I think it also starts to sort of wear down some of his supporters, makes it harder and harder for them. So, I think that Trump should be taking the Mitt Romney stuff very seriously, because I think this chaos is starting to really wear Republican donors down big.
Well, the donors are the key piece of the story that doesn't get talked about as much, because it's a little deep in the weeds for the regular folks. But here's the thing. Of the 30% that I frankly think we spend too much time talking about, his base, they're mm-hmm. more military, more red, white, and blue, more patriotic than most. And he trashed three generals yesterday who spent their lives in defense of this country. When does that start to have an impact?
You know, I saw a fun little observation today from somebody that noted that, you know, Joe McCarthy started to lose his influence when he started going after the Army. And that, you know, you make your name in taking these swipes, and you sort of, you know, he doesn't do it with precision, right? He does it basically with brute force, with anybody that gets in his way, like he did with Mattis. And there is going to be a point where you'll hear stories of rank and file military not feeling comfortable with Trump. And those things over time, I do think, have an impact on people. But it's erosion. It's slow erosion. It doesn't happen quickly. You know, look, I think the president's base has already shrunk. You look at some of these numbers and you see on honesty scores and things like that, he's down in the low 30s. So, you know, the real core Trump core believers is down in the low 30s. I think this stuff is having an impact on him. It's just erosion, so you don't see it every day.
The wall around the Obama's house, how's that working out? And did the Mexicans pay for it?
Man, I'm not, you know, it's, I know exactly where he lives, all these little houses. It's these little garden concrete, you know, little garden things with bushes on top. He could point to his own White House. It has a fence. It doesn't need a wall.
Right.
Apparently a fence does just fine around the... you ought to be careful pointing that stuff out, because somebody will point out that the White House, the Naval Observatory, all of it has fences.
Just wondering if the University of Chicago home here, if we could get a quick fence or a wall up there. I mean, if we're, you know...
No fence there.
It's beyond fatiguing. It's the 1947 podcast. It's Meet the Press. It's MTP Daily. And Chuck is way too modest to ever plug things, but go ahead, plug something.
Yeah, I'm plugging away. I hope, first of all, I hope you watched us last Sunday. We dedicated our entire show to one issue show on climate change.
Yep. Thought it was great. Watch
this
it.
Sunday. It's back in the grind. I'll admit that we'll be back doing the shutdown dance. By the way, I don't think this government, I think it's only 50-50 this government reopens before the State of the Union.
Wow.
I assume that becomes the next trigger point. That the president, I assume he doesn't deliver a State of the Union until the government gets reopened.
Wow, that is...
Ponder that.
You know, and the hardest thing, of course, is paychecks are due, and folks are trying to figure out how they pay for Christmas.
But, you know, the most difficult thing in all of this is, and you can't do traditional reporting, and this is what's very frustrating here, is that nobody knows where the president stands, including the vice president.
Yeah, we didn't even get to that. But yesterday, Pence had marching orders to go to Congress and say $2.5 billion, and we can wrap this up. And an hour later, Trump said, somebody said $2.5 billion. No, the number's five. So obviously, right. Pence doesn't speak for the president.
Right. It's that's the problem here. You don't have a partner. You can't do a negotiation if you can't trust the words coming from the negotiator.
Just remarkable, really is. Last word.
When it comes to shutdown, you say 50-50 to State of the Union. The people that seem to, or what the storyline that's lost in this is that, yes, there are hundreds of thousands of jobs and people who are now without paychecks or paychecks that will be coming up here. Is there any thought about that part of it from the new government, the Democrats, or from the president?
I'm trying to figure out at what point it will. Look, Steny Hoyer is the number two in the House of Leadership now, and he represents suburban Maryland, you know, and he's usually the guy that is the one that's supposedly always worried the most about this stuff. So, you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm really upset that we've made it too easy to shut down the government.
Yeah.
You know, the fact that it's only a partial shutdown makes it easier for the government to say, we can keep this going. We got most of the government up and running.
Yeah, that's just
seriously. Yeah, you know what I mean? I mean, I do think we've made the consequences too low, sadly.
Yeah,
even as they're very high for individual federal government workers, by doing this partial shutdown, we made the consequences too low and gave really no incentive for these people to stay in a room and not come out until the deal is done.
I mean, the only thing more outrageous than this is your thought that the Eagles will win.
You guys going to bring the fog machine? Isn't that the greatest Eagles Bears playoff game? Bring the fog machine to stop.
As far as you know, that wasn't a machine.
No, it wasn't a machine. As far as I know, of course.
Is Aaron Rodgers coming over to watch the game?
Hopefully, at my house.
Right, it'd be fun.
Be fun. Yeah,
Chuck, thank you very much, man. I appreciate it, and Happy New
Year.
Chuck.
Thanks, guys. Go Eagles.
He's just brutal.
Really, really endearing himself to the Chicago crowd right now.
He's Packers loyal. Yeah.
Yeah, but he's not Eagles loyal. Why would you say
go Eagles? Packers loyal means you have to hate the Bears, right?
How many times have I said go Seahawks when they had to play the Packers, right?
I've said it a few times.
Yeah, right.